Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Great, thank you. Yes, my name is Daniel, and along with my wife Lauren, we run the Young Adults Ministry, which is really exciting. And yeah, it's an honour to be speaking with you tonight. If we could start straight away with that first slide and the verse, I'd love to just start by reading the word. And if you've got your Bibles and want to turn to 1 John 2, verse 5 to 6, we'll be looking at that a little bit tonight. So 1 John 2, verse 5 to 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Who was here this morning for Vision Sunday? Just put up your hand if you're here. If you weren't here, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to the message. It was really amazing, and thank you, Andy, for being faithful in the word that you brought. And for those that weren't here, he shared the vision for the church for 2023, and he shared from Psalm 63 where it says, "I earnestly search for you." The theme being pursuing Jesus. And it's really cool just how what he shared this morning, this message that I feel led to share, just flows off. And if you remember the little image he shared of someone sitting on the couch with the bag of Doritos on one side and their runners on the other side, and just that challenge of, oh, like, it's really comfy here, but I should put on my shoes and, like, walk in the things that Jesus has for me, just that struggle. It's not a coincidence tonight, if we have in the next slide, that the title of my message for those taking notes is Time to Put Your Shoes On. Isn't that the Holy Spirit amazing? Like, that was earlier this week, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Cool, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the example that you set for us. Thank you that you showed us how to love. Thank you that through you we can see the Father, that we can know the Father. And I just I'm so aware of the calling you have on us to share your love with others and to walk as you did. And I just pray tonight that we would get a fresh revelation about that, that we would be challenged by it. Holy Spirit, we would just be ready to listen to what you have to share with us tonight, that we may implement it in our lives moving forward. Amen. Amen. So the thing that I've learned since having three amazing kids, we've got a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a one-year-old, is that back when it was just me and Lauren, like when it was just us, I never really appreciated how nice it was to leave the house. And some of you might hear that and immediately you're like, yeah, I know the feeling, like just that word, get out of the house, is, oh, like makes me cringe. I never appreciated how easy it was, how calm it was, how relaxing. It was really chill, you know, you just get ready and, yeah, you have time to check your phone and go on Facebook or whatever, watch a YouTube video, and you just hop out, like it's really easy. But I know that some of you can relate to that battle, that just the when you say to your kids, it's time to go, come on, we need to go, you're well aware of the battle that is about to occur in your household. Some of you have been through that, and it's a long distant memory, and man, my hat goes off to you for getting through that. And for others, like, you have no idea what I'm talking about, and some of you here might be the cause of those battles as well. So to set the scene, I've actually got a little video that I took the other weekend that I'd like to show you. And this is just as, I had the kids all day and Lauren was out and they got tired of being in the house and it had been raining and they wanted to go jump in some puddles. So I'm like, okay, great, that will get you out of the house. It will give you something to do. Let's go and get out of the house and jump in some puddles. I do need to apologize for showing a messy house. So just don't tell Lauren that I shared this. And yeah, let's have that video. Thank you. All right, kids, do you want to go for a walk and jump in some puddles? Yeah. All right. Jacob does. Isla doesn't.
Me.
Oh, you do want to?
I'm jacket.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you need to put your shoes and socks on.
Oh.
All right. Come on, Isla and Jacob, put your shoes and socks on. Come on, Isla, you need to get changed. Come on. Good work, Jacob. Come on, Isla, what are you doing? Let's go. You said you wanted to jump in puddles before. Alright, what are you doing, Isla? Come on.
I can't find them. I looked everywhere.
You looked everywhere? Well, they gotta be somewhere. Come on, go get your shoes. Hey, you're ready. Let's go. Where's Jacob? Jacob, are you ready?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Here.
Show me your gum boots. Nice. All right. So everyone give Jacob and Isla a round of applause for getting out of the house. And I only just realised watching it back this afternoon that Isla did have her pants on backwards. But you just go with it, don't you? So what was the purpose of showing this clip? Well, as Christians and followers of Jesus, sometimes we refuse to step out the door. Jesus calls us expectantly to come and follow him. We are told time and time again that we're children of God, that we need to shine our light, that we're called, we're set apart, that we're a royal priesthood. And we know that there are people all around us who desperately need to encounter Jesus. They need to know his love. We also know that we're called to build the church, to build each other up. And we know that we also need to serve. And there are so many opportunities that we heard this morning about areas that we can serve. We know that God has an amazing plan and purpose for our lives. But just like how it can take a good 15 minutes or longer for the kids to finally find their shoes and get out the door, sometimes it takes us a good 15 minutes or more to put our shoes on and walk out the door into the things that we know Jesus is calling us to do. So 1 John 2 verse 5 to 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And that's the theme I'd love to look at tonight, walking as Jesus did. And there are so many aspects you could look at when you come to that topic. But what I'd like to focus on tonight is how we've been given the Holy Spirit to equip us with everything we need to do, everything we need to walk as Jesus did. We have everything there that we need to step out the door. And sometimes we just need to put aside the distractions, the procrastination, the laziness, the fear. We need to put that aside, put our shoes on that are right there in front of us and start walking. And so what does it mean to walk as Jesus did? Like, what does that even mean? And why is that important? If you have your Bibles, again, let's turn to John 14. And as you turn to John 14, just to give you some context here, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the lead up to his death on the cross. And as he's talking to his disciples are sort of asking Jesus all these questions. And as you read it, you get the sense that the disciples are a bit confused. They feel a bit left out of the loop. They're a bit worried, anxious. And they're asking Jesus all these questions. Jesus, where are you going? Why can't I follow you there? How do we know the way if we don't know where you're going? And so from John verse 14:11, Jesus shares this. He says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." And then we come to this next part where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So tonight we're going to unpack the significance of this passage where Jesus promises us a helper, an advocate, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And when I look at Bible passages like these, I like to ask questions, and I've got three questions tonight that I would like us to look at. So question number one, do we have the Holy Spirit? What are we equipped with? Or what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled in the Holy Spirit? And how do we use the tools we are equipped with? How do we actually walk in the Holy Spirit? So question number one, do we have the Holy Spirit? If I was to ask that question now, do we have the Holy Spirit? Like, put your hands up if you think, yes, do we have the Holy Spirit? I think most of us, if we heard that question, like, we'd say yes straight away without blinking, right? But what actually is the answer? If you had someone come up to you that didn't go to church or didn't know much about the Christian faith or maybe came from a different culture or even religion, and they asked you that question, like, what is the Holy Spirit? Do you have it? How would you actually answer that question? It's a little bit more difficult when we think about it in that way. If we have the next slide up, I'm an engineer by trade, so I like my diagrams and figures and graphs. And as I thought about this question and how to answer it, I went to the Bible. And what this slide is showing is that throughout the Bible, we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Right from the very start in Genesis 1 verse 2, where the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, over the lifeless waters, the chaotic waters. The Spirit was hovering over the top. It was in control and ready for the work of creation. And then we see this happen in the New Testament when Jesus gets baptized. Ironic that it's in the waters. Jesus is baptized and filled with the Spirit and begins his ministry. In Genesis 2 verse 7, it talks about in creating Adam that God breathed the breath of life. And it's interesting that in the Hebrew, the word Spirit and breath, it's used interchangeably, and the word being ruach. God breathed his personal presence, life-activating, creation-working spirit, and the man became a living being. Again, in the New Testament, Jesus says to his disciples in John 20, verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And that with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we see this outwork on the day of Pentecost. And then we think about the heroes of the faith who did these amazing miracles. And for an example, we see Moses and the amazing miracles he did with his staff. He parted the sea and caused water to come out of a rock. And Graham shared a really great message about on this. In Exodus 4 verse 2, where God says to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" You know, Moses is equipped, and that piece of wood is anointed, where Moses can start to do these amazing works through God's Spirit. And we see that in the New Testament and in verses like Luke, verse 10 to 19, where Jesus says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." We see this work continue. And the really cool thing is seeing how just his disciples and the early church and us today, we're equipped with the Spirit. And the whole reason behind that is because we can walk like Jesus did. And you think about what Jesus' ministry was. Wherever he went, where there was death, blindness, sickness, the outcasts, wherever there was death, when Jesus came into that space, there was life. And we see this with the disciples and the early church, and that's what we get to do when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So answer to question one, do we have the Holy Spirit? It's a resounding yes. If we believe in Jesus, if we love him and follow his commands, we have the Holy Spirit. How exciting is that? All right, question number two. What are we equipped with? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If we go back to John 14 and in verse 13 and 14, Jesus says to his disciples, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me of it, and I will do it. So what's the answer to that question? Like, what are we equipped with? What gifts do we have? We are actually equipped with any tool that we need to meet a need, any gift that we need to meet a need, to share the love of Jesus, to share the power of Jesus. And if you were here last Sunday night, again, listen back to the message. It was really great. We had Layla Nahavandi from Numa Church share, and she said this line where she challenged us and encouraged us with the line that we are kingdom carriers. We are kingdom carriers. The Holy Spirit equips us with the things we need to continue the work where God asks us to be image bearers, to glorify his name in all that we do, and invites us to partner with him to create life where there was once death. If we have the next slide up. We have, fortunately, we have so much information in the Bible about the different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us and the different tools. And I'm going to hand out a resource sheet a little bit later that has all this that you can go back and have a look at. But I'm not going to go into the detail of that tonight. And what I'd actually love to do is just to whet your appetite, to just inspire you, excite you, and myself as I'm talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and how amazing this gift is that we have. So I've actually asked a couple of people tonight just to share their testimony about a situation where there was a need or a problem and what the gift was that they were equipped with in that moment and what the outcome was. So really quick, just 2 minutes, and we'll start off with Chris, and then I'll get Steph to pass the mic over to my dad.
Okay, so if you have a look at the gifts up there, the one I'm talking about is the word of knowledge. I love that Dan's talking about this. This is just a powerful thing. And often the way it works is the Holy Spirit sees things that we can't and can input that into other people's lives. And so this particular day, and it's two people that were sitting in church with us. It's Warren and Michelle who are sitting up the back. The word and the heavy impression I got was to go and talk to them about a change of role for Warren in his workplace. Now, I didn't know what was going on with Warren, but it wasn't just to speak to Warren. The impression was you need to speak to both of them. And so I went up and I spoke to them, and I said, Warren, I just have a real sense that God is changing your circumstance in your workplace. And Michelle, for you, I believe that you need to relax and just allow God to do what he's got to do, because he's got it in hand. And it was, there was more to it than that, but it was as simple as that. That is what, that is the word that I had given. Now, I don't know the discussions they had, but the Holy Spirit knew, God knew their circumstance. And in and through the word that he'd put on me, they then got confirmation of where things were at. Michelle was probably a little bit more relaxed after that word came, and God used that in a way. Now, I had no idea, but God, through His Holy Spirit in me, was able to reveal that situation. And so, yeah, does that help?
Yeah, great. Thank you. And you can come up. Yep.
So I used to look after 14-year-olds up at the school up the hill, and every year I'd run a camp, and we'd go to Wilson's Prom. And Wilson's Prom can be good or bad, depending on the weather, and this particular day was, or this time was actually really windy and quite wild, and the students struggled a little bit, but one particular student was really, really scared. And so we spent a lot of time talking to her and talking to her parents. And she just wanted to go home. But it was impossible to go home, because anybody who knows the Prom, it's hard to get into and out of at any time, but night time's the worst. But anyway, we were trying to encourage her this student to think about positive things. So so I began saying, you know, look, you've only got a couple of nights left, and think about your nice comfy bed at home and your nice soft pillow. And I just stopped, and I was just a little bit like Chris in that I didn't know, but God placed something within me, and it was really quite unusual, a bit weird in one way, but I just spoke out. But I actually didn't speak, I sang, and I began singing my favourite things from Sound of Music. I sang Raindrops on Roses and Whiskers on Kittens. Anyway, I looked at her after about one or two lines, and I said, do you want me to keep on singing? And she looked at me and she said, no, Mr. Gash. But we both looked at each other and absolutely cracked up laughing. And something broke that particular moment. And that was the fear that this girl was having. And the most amazing thing is that later on I discovered that The Sound of Music was her favourite musical, and that the song My Favourite Things was her favourite song. How on earth did I know it? I didn't. I just believe God just revealed that to me at the right time.
Well, thanks, Dad, and thanks, Chris. Why don't you give them a hand? That was, yeah. I could listen to those testimonies all night, and again, I just want to whet your appetite and in just the gifts and the so many different tools and ways the Holy Spirit works in us to meet a need. So answer to question two. What are we equipped with? I had some things written down, but we actually sung it tonight. And Kayla, where is Kayla? Well done tonight. And you know that song, that's not one we've done for quite a while at church. And again, like I think there's a real gifting on you with those song choices and just the way you're able to speak and into, you know, what the Holy Spirit's doing on a night. And in that bridge, what are we equipped with? We're equipped with gifts and tools to bring life into situations. And we sung this tonight. The lost will come home. Bound will go free. Weak will be strong. The broken redeemed. The sick will be well. The hungry will feast. The mourning will dance. The blinded will see. The church will arise with power and love. Revival is here. Revival is now. The kingdom is here. That's what we're equipped with, to partner with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to bring that into people's lives. So that is just amazing. All right, question number three. How do we use the tools we are equipped with? And we're actually, in a moment, going to break out into just little groups and chat about this in our groups, because I think there's a real richness to be able to share and discuss and hear from different people in the church. And I've actually got some resource sheets to help with that. Jack, if you could bring them up. And I'm just going to actually share a testimony for myself in using the tools and the gifts. So this is about 8 years ago, and thank you. This is about 8 years ago when I was a frontline leader, and we had a camp, and there was sort of a moment of ministry time, a bit like the Sunday night encounter services we might have here, or for those at youth and young adults camp, that Sunday night we had where it was really open and we just had an amazing time where the Holy Spirit led us. And we had this about 8 years ago, and as I was kind of sitting there, I prayed, you know, and it was like, Holy Spirit, like, what do you want me to do here? How can I serve? And I had the prompting to talk to some of the boys that I led, year eight boys, about speaking in tongues. Now, I believed I had the gift of speaking in tongues, but I didn't really feel like I had it. And I'm sure a lot of you could relate where I really doubted, and I thought, maybe I'm just making this up. Like, you know, and I'd never really used it apart from praying in my own, you know, personal prayer time. But I was prompted to speak to these boys about praying in tongues, and so I kind of stepped out in faith, and that was a really scary moment. But I stepped out and I asked these boys, you know, do you want to speak in tongues? And they said yes, and we started talking about it, and I started praying, and I started speaking in tongues, like audibly, probably for the first time where other people could hear me. And the Holy Spirit came in just this amazing way, and we had about 6 or 7 year eight boys who just started speaking in tongues and praying for each other. And they stayed in that attitude for about like 30 minutes, and they were, you know, bawling their eyes out like, these are year eight boys. And that was just an amazing moment I had where the Holy Spirit used me in that way. And the thing I really took from that experience was that that was a gift I wasn't confident in using. I hadn't really used it before. But in being obedient and stepping out in faith, the Holy Spirit used me in that way. And Jesus had my back. And there was an amazing thing that happened where a need was met. And these boys encountered the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, some of you might have seen before, Jack dropped these papers, and that was planned, a little bit sneaky, but Jack dropped these papers, and immediately the other Jack helped him pick him up, helped Jack pick those papers up. And I think sometimes we can overcomplicate things when it comes to the using these gifts. When Jack dropped the paper, I'm sure, Jack, when you're sitting there, like, you didn't kind of sit there and go, what should I do? Like, should I pick these up? Dear God, should I pick these bits of paper up? Like, give me a sign so I know that I should help with this. Like, I really want to step out in faith, but I'm just going to wait, and I'm just going to wait for a sign. I'm just going to wait for the leading and prompting to help pick up these bits of paper. No, of course not, right? That's ridiculous. And Jack saw a need, and he went about meeting that need. Now, yes, this is an analogy and a bit of hyperbole. And of course, we need to seek God and we need to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you think of, for example, a carpenter and his tool belt, the carpenter has all these tools that he knows how to use. And yes, he sometimes needs to learn how to use them, and it can take some time to learn how to use them properly. But he doesn't learn how to use them just by sitting back and watching, or by reading a book, or by thinking about it. He learns how to use these tools by actually stepping out and doing it. And over time, he knows each and every tool, and he knows exactly what he needs to meet a need. So what we're going to do now, if I could have maybe Jack, Charlotte, and Cayman, if you could just help hand these out. I've got these resource sheets, and we're just going to break up into groups of sort of five or six, so those sort of sitting around you, and just spend five or so minutes, and I've just got a few questions down the bottom. So I'd encourage you to kind of break up into your little groups and talk about these questions, and some of you may feel comfortable speaking, some may not, but I would encourage you to have a go and just share something. And as we think about the different gifts and things that we're equipped with, so we're going to have 5 minutes, again, just sort of those around you, groups of five to six, and let's have a quick chat, and then we'll come back in about 5 minutes. All right, let's finish up. I'd encourage you to continue those conversations afterwards if you want to, or during the week, or next Sunday. So again, in 1 John verse 2, 5 to 6 that we've looked at tonight, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And we think back to, again, that video of the kids trying to get out the door and just how distracted they got and how long it took for them to put on their shoes, which were like right there ready for them to go. We can do the exact same thing, can't we, in our walk, when we've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the tools, the things we need to be able to just walk as Jesus did, yet we just take so long to actually step into those. We are called to be kingdom carriers. The Holy Spirit equips us with the things we need to continue the work where God asks us to be image bearers, to glorify his name in all that we do and partner with us to create life where there was once death. So I'm just going to pray and then I'll hand back to Steph. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are with us and that you help us in our walk, that we can walk like Jesus did through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just pray that every single one of us would just think about the word that was shared tonight. We think about the vision that Andy shared this morning, and that we would just pursue you, Jesus, with everything that we've got, that we would start taking steps out into areas that we might not have done so before, that people would come to know the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus, that they would come to know the church and just the amazing place it is to be in community. that they'll come to know these things as we step out, and we'll just see some amazing testimonies out of Life Ministry Church, and we'll see people walking through the door that might never have even thought about it if it wasn't for one of us that stepped out and shared the love of Jesus. So we just pray for this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen.